All this commotion scared the other sleeping pug, who jumped up and started barking. Chris looks at me and says, "Oh my God, no!" Chris looks at me and says, "Oh my God, don't open your eyes."
Before we dive in, a warning. The content of this podcast may not be appropriate for some young listeners. This is real life, and that means that sometimes it can be a little bit graphic. So listen on at your own peril. As a veterinarian, dog behaviorist, best-selling author, and trainer, over the past decade, I've had an obsession with transforming the behavior of dogs. Understanding their brains and creating practical strategies that you can implement easily at home. I know all too well when the dream you imagined when you first got your dog is far from your daily reality. In fact, out of the blue, a few months ago, my little dog Gorse was bitten by a dog 20 times her size. And suddenly our life of stress-free walks, a calm and cuddly household, and being teammates was replaced with reactivity, anxiety, and worrying about what's around the next corner. I'm Dr. Tom, this is the Help My Dog podcast, and this is me documenting that journey of transformation, sharing my knowledge and experience with you and having a few laughs along the way. Hey, HMD family, nice to see you all here. So, welcome to this episode of the Help My Dog podcast. And what we're doing this week is we are dedicating it to the other end of the lead. So we're dedicating it to you as an owner of a dog that potentially has some behavior struggles right now. Potentially there's a mismatch between the life that you're living and the life that you thought you'd be living. And yeah, we're going to close that gap. But also what we sometimes need to do is like honor the journey, honor the struggle sometimes, honor the ups, honor the downs. And take a moment, I guess, to realize that it's tricky, right? It's not easy. It's not always, you know, it doesn't always feel great. You know, in the Help My Dog Hub the other day, one of our amazing Help My Dog Hub members posted saying, "I just want to like check, you know, I cry, you know, often about my dog's behavior. Like, am I the only one?" And literally, guys, there were like hundreds of comments being like, no, you're not the only one. Don't like worry about it. And I think sometimes we feel an emotion and then we feel like guilt or like shame or judgment on ourselves for feeling that emotion. That makes us feel an even worse emotion. And it's this like spiral. And so I want to take a moment to, I guess, just let you know that this is normal, let you know that you're on the right track, let you know that we're moving in the right direction, and it's also sometimes fine to not feel great, right? And this is not, you know, a space of, you know, like positivity shaming, like it is fine to not feel great sometimes. And one of the reasons why that is because it often feels lonely to own a dog with behavior struggles. That's why, you know, that's why I started the Help My Dog Hub, to connect everybody together. That's why I started this podcast, for everybody to be connected directly and indirectly to a community where you can be part of this community even if your dog's not perfect. You can be part of this community if your dog's got struggles. You can be part of this community if life's not perfect right now. And the fact that you're here means that you are absolutely the best owner your dog could wish for, because you're skilling yourself up, you're skilling your dog up to skyrocket you to that dog owning dream. And the reason why, let's be honest, it feels lonely to own a dog with behavior struggles is because it's very difficult to connect with other owners with dogs with behavior struggles, because you can't go on a walk together because you've both got dogs with behavior struggles. You can't, you know, meet up at a cafe with your dogs because you've both got dogs with behavior struggles. And you know, there's this like, you become disconnected from your local dog community. And so I guess first thing to say is, one, that's normal. Two, welcome home. You're now part of this Help My Dog family. And so you probably realize you absolutely aren't alone. Certainly from the It Could Be Worse segment of each podcast, you're probably realizing that people are living similar situations to you sometimes, and sometimes even worse, right? So that's the first thing. Second thing is that we need to step away from, the best way to say this? There are lots of people around, just generally, who might almost like shame you for your dog's behavior. And I think we can't control the behavior of those people, but certainly what we can do is stop shaming ourselves, right? And this is something that we often coach people on in behavior consults, is that we can't control the behavior of other people, but actually you can control whether you shame yourself or not. We can have the narrative and the story of, you know, oh, you know, I'm the cause of my dog's struggles. I'm the problem. It's because I did this. It's because I made this choice. It's because I didn't do this. Or you could have the story of actually, wow, my dog, who is lacking some skills right now and is struggling, has found themselves with me. And I have this opportunity to support them, to skill them up, to help them so that they can move from a world of surviving to a world of thriving. And that's because of me, right? Not in spite of me, it's because of me. And I'm here skilling myself up and growing my skills and growing my knowledge so that in turn I can do the same for my dog. And that is a better relationship and a better journey than the journey and relationship that I thought I was signing up for, yeah? And those two stories describe exactly the same situation, but it's sometimes about, you know, what we choose to focus on, what we choose to believe. Now, on the subject of what we choose to focus on as dog owners, one thing that I'll come back to again and again, and it's a question that I'll come back to again and again when, you know, coaching, whether it be large groups, right? I've taught groups as big as 1,000 people in person in like a conference setting. I've equally taught live seminars online with 5,000 people. I've taught very small groups. I've taught one-to-one behavior consults, the full spectrum, right? And it often comes back to this one question: what are the facts? Okay, because as humans, sometimes what we do is something happens, and let's say you go for a walk, and let's say the last dog you owned was reactive to other dogs. You go on a walk one day with your new puppy, or, you know, the new dog that's come into your life, you've owned them a few months, you go on that walk, and for the first time and out of the blue, they bark and lunge at another dog. Yeah, and what spiral happens following that? You go home and you think, oh my goodness, it's happening to me again. I'm gonna, you know, be a reactive dog owner again. This is gonna be impossible to fix. Now, next they're gonna be reacting to all dogs. It's gonna be really terrible. I'm gonna not be able to walk my dog. I'm gonna have to restrict my life. And then what I want you to do in those moments is come back to, what are the facts? Well, the fact is my dog just barked at one other dog. Yeah, the fact is that the reason why they did that is because they didn't have the skills to deal with that situation. Yeah, their ability to be optimistic in that situation didn't quite meet the requirements of that environment. Their ability to disengage wasn't quite up to scratch for that. Their ability to be calm wasn't quite where it needed to be. They're the facts. And with the facts, you can do something about those, yeah? We can skill up their optimism. We can teach them to disengage. We can teach them to be calmer. And how much more empowering is that when you stick to the facts, right? How much better does that feel when you actually say, what is the problem really here? Like, I know the problem that, like, my, you know, my amygdala drama almond brain is trying to, you know, make it escalate and escalate and escalate. But actually, what has just happened? And is the present situation a predictor of the future? Not necessarily, because the future's not yet happened. So when your brain starts to fortune tell as a dog owner, you quite simply say, and it is a fact, well, it's not yet happened. So that is not true. That does not need to affect my emotional state right now. And I think the third thing that I want to, you know, turn attention to in this episode is, hey guys, I just want to take a little pause to let you know how you can get involved with the official Help My Dog membership hub. If you're enjoying geeking out about the science of dog behavior, want to watch dogs practically being trained in real life, and you want to progress even further, you can join our members-only community and get targeted learning with me each and every week to help you combat your dog struggles at home, on walks, and out and about. And right now, when you jump in, you can actually watch Gorse's behavior rehabilitation from trauma to triumph in an over-the-shoulder video diary showing real-life situations. To find out more, just head over to www.helpmydog.com/hub.
I think the third thing that I want to, you know, turn attention to in this episode is the feeling that most dog owners have, and I think it's just kind of like, I think it comes from that, you know, world that tries to almost shame you for having a dog that isn't perfect and robotic, is this feeling that you have to figure it out yourself and that you failed if you don't figure it out yourself, right? What did you, when you were 17 or 18 or 21 or whatever, you know, the age was to drive in your country, did you hop in the car and say, right, I'm going to figure this out myself? No. And a car is much simpler than an animal. And so why there's this belief that we have to bring in this, like, constantly learning, reactive, living thing into our house and then go, right, we're going to figure it out ourselves, right? You know, when I say it like that and we think about the facts, it's like, that is crazy, yeah? That is not normal. That makes no sense on any level. And so, and you're probably all like laughing now or being like, oh yeah, that is kind of weird, isn't it? Yeah, we don't, you know, that isn't a normal process of having a great journey with something. But realize that, how long have you not reached out for help? How long have you, you know, almost like been shamed into hiding away and not saying, you know what, I don't want to settle for this life. I know that my dog is capable of more. I know that I'm capable of more. And so I need to remember the dream I imagined when I first got my dog, rather than what has happened over time, which is you had that goal and then you've almost like tempered the goal down until now it's like, okay, we've survived the day, tick, right? Actually, when you level up your goals, it's scary because you're probably going to have to reach out for help. You're probably going to need some support and you don't have all the answers. But if you don't level up your goal, you're never going to seek out the answers. You're never going to discover what you and your dog can do. Does that make sense, guys? I hope so, because I think this is so often holds people back. When we see people at the behavior clinic online, it's all done totally remotely now. We found that people get better results remotely, and it means that actually we can help people all over the world, wherever they are. And often I guess two common things that people will say. They'll say, oh, you know, I'm, you know, it's taken me a long time to book this behavior consultation because I don't want to waste your time. Right? So you don't want to waste our time. Your dog has a struggle and, you know, we can help you move forward with it. Like, you are not wasting our time. And the second most common thing that we experience is, and here is, oh, I feel really silly because I feel like, you know, I should be able to work this out. And often that's very common. Those of you who are listening who are professional dog trainers, you're behaviorists yourselves potentially, and you feel even more shame around, you know, you have to figure it out and you've got to have all the answers. No, you don't have all the answers, right? I have a riding coach because I say, you know, I know a lot of stuff and there are people that know other stuff, yeah? And I think if we combine all of our stuff together, then probably things will go much better. And that's kind of how it is in dog training and behavior, yeah? You can combine the stuff I know with the, I don't know, stuff Dr. Anita knows, Dr. Aston knows, Dr. Lily knows, that the behavior clinic, just naming just a few of the team, with what you know, right? Because we value what you know, and probably you're going to make more progress. So one area where that does tend to crop up is around family, okay? So there was an instance in the inbox that I saw the other day where an amazing owner, might even be a podcast listener, had booked a behavior consultation with the behavior vet team and then emailed and said, I'm sorry, again, it was those words, I'm sorry for wasting your time. I don't want to waste your time any further. I would say the particular, you know, relations, but two of my family members
think that I'm being silly and think that we don't need a behaviorist and think that, you know, I'm wasting your time and we'll figure it out ourselves. And that's really tough, isn't it? Right? You know that the value of, like, you don't have to figure it all out yourself, and equally you shouldn't. But then when presented with a spouse, partner, I think that's the same thing, I don't really know, you know, children, parents, grandparents, and they're questioning that, right? They're saying, there's a really loud horn in the background, I don't know why that is. They're questioning that, and they're saying, and they're almost like shaming, you know, putting layers of shame on there. You've got to be strong and saying, you know what, that me getting help, me fast forward in this progress doesn't take anything away from me. If anything, it says again, right, I am the best owner for this dog because I'm out there putting myself in situations where I can get results. And that's, I know I'm giving the behavior consultation example, but that's just where I see it cropping up the most. Equally, the fact that you're listening to this podcast now means that you've said to yourself, I don't have to figure this all out myself, right? Those of you who are Help My Dog Hub members, you've said, hey, I don't have to figure this all out myself, and actually it's way more fun if we figure it out all together. Now, when we think about the neuroscience of a dog owner, okay, and why it's hard to sometimes dig yourself out of a dog behavior challenge without support, it's because it's very similar to a dog's brain. And you'll remember on one of the episodes, I think it was episode one where I talked about this. If you've not checked out episode one of this podcast, check it out. I think there's like a pair of pants in the title, like from memory, okay? Because that was one of the cringe stories, I'm pretty sure. I think it involved a vet waiting room, so definitely listen to that one. It's a really good one. And there are these two brain areas. There's the prefrontal cortex and the amygdala, right? And the amygdala is like that drama almond emotion center, and it's part of like the emotional brain, okay? And it's very reactive. It's fight or flight. It's, you know, avoiding danger. Where's the danger? Where's the threat? And it's often an area that's very, very like activated when we're feeling fear, we're feeling anxious, we're feeling overwhelmed, we're feeling a lot of emotion and we have no idea, you know, we can't quite put our finger on why it is. Then there's the prefrontal cortex, and that's like the logical decision-making, figuring it out brain, yeah? The figuring it out brain. And aside from having to do all those things, the prefrontal cortex looks to dampen and control the amygdala. So when the amygdala is going crazy, it's doing drama almond moments and it's all gone mad, the prefrontal cortex is literally like, calm down, everything is fine, the sky is not falling. And the amygdala is like, the sky is falling, my dog's just barked at another dog, they're going to be reactive forevermore, there's no hope, my dog owning dream's gone, right? That's the amygdala. The prefrontal cortex is like, what are the facts, right? What's the problem really? Oh, I see these skills are lacking, right? We need to work on those. The thing is that the prefrontal cortex gets tired. The amygdala does not, right? So the amygdala is constantly in a state of reaction, just like your dog's amygdala is. Your dog's amygdala is reacting, your amygdala is reacting to your dog's amygdala. And there's just a drama almond party, all the drama almonds are invited, right? And the challenge is we've got to direct this transformation. We've got to be the leader in that situation. I'm not talking any, you know, dominance leadership rubbish. I'm talking actually, let's decide the next logical step, right? And so over time, what happens as a dog owner is your prefrontal cortex gets fatigued and tired from all of the drama almond dancing that's going on. And in turn, it's almost impossible to see a way forward. Not because, you know, you're not knowledgeable or you're not the right owner for your dog or, you know, whatever else, or there's a mismatch between you and your dog or all of that. It's actually because you're living in a war zone that your dog's amygdala is creating, that your amygdala is reacting to, and your prefrontal cortex that started out being very logical and structured in your approach to training and working with your dog, right? I bet those first few weeks of owning your dog, they were very considered, right? That side of things gets tired. because the drama is kicking off. And that's where reaching out for help, asking for help. That's why, you know, those of you who are professional trainers and behaviorists, it's much easier to figure out somebody else's, the solution to somebody else's problem than it is your own. Because your prefrontal cortex is like, here I am, I've got this. Your drama almond's not kicking off because it's not your dog, right? You know, you're not living that every day. You're not coming into that fatigued. And so when I say that you do not have to figure this out all by yourself as a dog owner, I'm not just saying it from the point of view of your dog getting, you know, all the answers and you having all the knowledge, but I'm also saying it from the point of view of a neuroscience level. It might even be that you have to and you need to, and that's your next step, right? So I guess the reason why I wanted to share this episode of the podcast is to just get rid of that shame once and for all. We can all step into this new story that is, my dog is so lucky to have me, right? I am the best owner that this dog could ever wish for. I am going to lead them from a world of surviving to a world of thriving, and I don't have to do that alone. And I am going to level up my goals so that I ask myself the right questions and I actively move towards my dog owning dreams. Does that sound fair? Now, on the subject of dog owning dreams, sometimes it's far from a dream. Sometimes it's quite cringy. Sometimes someone else's cringy situation, cringy event, is our dream to read. And so we've got the It Could Be Worse segment of the podcast. And Mrs. Cringe, Madeline, Mrs. Mitchell, has prepared these stories for us. They're your stories that you've emailed in to cringe@helpmy.dog. And then I am the victim and have to read them. So let's do this. Right. Hi, Mr. and Mrs. Cringe. Ooh, I'm Mr. Cringe now. I like it. I once completely underestimated my dog's arousal and stress level. Okay. That's how all good stories start. I once completely underestimated my dog's arousal and stress level. Having just picked him up from the kennels on a gloriously muddy spring day, for some reason I imagined he wouldn't be utterly insane with stress and boredom and proceeded to let him off lead on our village green. Imagine the scene, elderly neighbours gossiping at their garden gates, front doors open to the spring sunshine, and then a mad March hare of a spaniel races straight past one old lady into her home. And he leapt and bounded, slid muddy paws across the sofas, oh no, turned Matrix-style flying leaps against the walls, shook himself violently and generally turned the once spick-and-span cottage into a scene resembling the third day of Glastonbury. I love this. This is so well written. The old lady chased the dog with a mop. That took me by surprise. The old lady chased the dog with a mop. I chased her, and when he had finished redecorating, he raced back to the garden. I apologized profusely and offered to clean everything, but she shouted, "Go away! Just go away!" No! So we ran all the way home in disgrace and hid. The end. Enjoy. We did. Thank you. That is mortifying. Right. Dear Tom and Madeline, okay, I've been putting it off for a while, but here is my embarrassing, cringeworthy tale of woe. We have a naughty dog who is always desperate to go and see every dog that enters her field of vision. Sometimes she likes them, sometimes she doesn't. So we are wary about first contact. We have a caravan, and last summer we tried taking the dog away for the second time to a little campsite with 6 pitchers only. Our first trip had been a success. However, this time it seemed every caravan that pitched up had a dog. And after a few days of full bucket, we decided to pack up and go home. The latest arrival, who was next door but one to us, had 4 dogs, and that was just too much for our girl to contend with. This all sounds very sensible. My husband went outside to take the awning down, and I was left inside with the dog packing up sundry items. I realised after about 10 minutes I needed the loo. But by now the awning was half down and there was no getting out of the door to use the campsite facilities. So I decided to use the caravan loo, as we had not yet emptied it before leaving.
And the caravan,
yeah, yep. Caravan life. Yep. Let me paint the picture. It was summer. It was hot. Some of the windows were open a little and held in place by the little struts. But the fly screens were also down. I go in the tiny loo. I've had a wee, sorry. When all hell breaks, I like that. I've had a wee, sorry. When all hell breaks loose and the dog is barking like crazy and I think, oh hell, she's trying to get out the window. So I panic. I open the door of the loo, step out shouting for my husband, my trousers round my ankles, and even, mortifyingly, with a piece of loo roll in my hand. Ah, no! Only to see that she has indeed pushed her way through the fly screen and out of the front window to greet aforesaid neighbour and dogs who had chosen that moment to walk past. They were stood right by the window with the aforesaid husband, who by now had our dog by the collar, all looking at yours truly. Needless to say, I was back in the loo pretty quickly and found out later it was all the husband Steve's, go on, name him. Yes, I love it. We're now naming. It was all the husband Steve's fault because he had stopped them to ask what breed the dogs were rather than the just quickly walking on by. I can see the funny side now. Hope this makes you smile. Keep up the good work. Loving everything about the Help My Dog experience. Oh, that is amazing. That is so funny. You win a mug. So all you're going to do is email cringe@helpmy.dog and we'll send you a Help My Dog mug as your cringe prize. Right, third one. Madeline, feel free to use their names. No one will figure it out. Okay, we shall see. We have a large listener base. Number one dog training podcast in the UK. Watch out. And this happened to my daughter-in-law. I have no idea what you want to title it. I was sleeping and the pugs, there were two of them, were snuggling like usual somewhere in the king-sized bed. As an aside, as a rule, I never let the dogs on the sheets or the pillows. But at some point, one of the pugs, Punkin.
I don't know. Punkin. No, Punkin, I think.
Punkin went crawling around the pillows at my head. She stirred my sleep. I half opened my eyes to her little curled tail facing me. As I moved my arm to move her back down towards the bottom of the bed, I guess I startled her or something. Oh my God. Oh. No one could have foreseen what was to happen next. Before I could get her moved, startled Punkin exploded with a stream of warm liquid poop. Oh my God. Oh, this is so graphically written. Her hot rancid chocolate. This is horrendous. Her hot rancid chocolate hit me in the face like a fire hose that had been turned on. It hit me in my eyes, my nose, and... and all over my hair.
Oh, Punkin.
I sat up straight in my bed and yelled in a panic to my husband, who was sleeping next to me, Chris! He was now startled out of his own sleep, jumping up out of bed as if the bed was on fire and flipped the lights on, not knowing what the hell was happening. All this commotion scared the other sleeping pug, who jumped up and started barking. Chris looks at me and says, oh my God. Chris looks at me and says, oh my God, don't open your eyes.
That's what you would do.
As if I had any sane intention to do so. He turned on the shower and walked me blindly to it, trying not to trip on a pug or slip in the muck.
He went to change the sheets on the bed as the realization the brown liquid that smelled, well, like poop streamed down my body. Oh, what? These are so graphically written. I'm actually crying. It hit me. Oh my God. As if it all wasn't bad enough, I started vomiting. The entire next day, all I could smell was poop. Oh, you poor, poor, poor person.
Poor pumpkin.
Poor pumpkin. That'll be the last time you startle pumpkin. Pumpkin. All right, guys. Oh, that's a strange note to end on, isn't it? Well, I don't really know how to bring that back. I hope you got value. I hope you got value from Punkin's story, from the lessons that were included in this podcast. I hope you're going forth in your day, whether it be morning, afternoon, evening, with a smile on your face and renewed motivation to transform your dog's behaviour struggles. That was this episode of the Help My Dog podcast. We will see you next time. And if you've got a story, ideally not quite like Punkin's, because I imagine that we're going to get a slew of those now and I will have to read them. All you got to do is email cringe@helpmy.dog. See you real soon, HMD family.